The Sports Addict Radio Network proudly presents The Jerry Miller Show.
I totally don't know what that means, but I want it.
Opinions and information for the Wahoo and Hokie Nations.
It ain't cool being no jive turkey so close to Thanksgiving.
You can reach the program by calling 866-356-ESPN.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Or you can email the show at jerry@cvasports.com.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Now, here's your host, Jerry Miller.
Show me the money!
Hour two already upon us. Welcome back to the program. I'm Jerry Miller. It's the Jerry Miller Show. It's brought to you by the gentlemen at Fork Union Military Academy, where boys become men. Fork Union Military Academy. We welcome Chris Coleman, as we always do on Tuesday, at top of hour two to the program. Mr. Coleman, good afternoon, sir.
Hey, Jerry, how you doing today?
I'm doing very well. We'll start with an open-ended question. A 2017 victory over North Carolina in Chapel Hill. What'd you think of the win?
I think it's going to be like a lot of Virginia Tech games this year. I think a lot of them are going to go down into the fourth quarter, and, you know, I think the Hokies will come out on top of some of them and probably be on the draw the short end of the stick a few other times. But, it was a very important game because it put Tech out 2-0 in the ACC, and now they've got a tiebreaker over two of their Coastal Division rivals. So, I mean, it's a very big early season win.
Let's start there. Who has impressed you the most, North Carolina or Georgia Tech? Because you're right, they do have the head-to-head tiebreaker over both.
You know, I really like what Georgia Tech did to Mississippi State, you know, on Saturday. I mean, they dismantled a Mississippi State team that held Auburn to 3 points. So I think that was a really impressive win by Virginia Tech. I think the Hokies played a lot better in the second half than they did in the first half. I don't think offensively they played as well as they were capable of in the first half at all. You know, as the game went on, they started knocking UNC off the ball. And I think that's what they were capable of doing the entire time, because UNC is still pretty soft up front on both sides of the line of scrimmage. So from that standpoint, I don't think I felt like Virginia Tech played as well as they could have up front offensively for the entire game. And I really felt like, in the fourth quarter and late parts of the third quarter, they really showed what they could do in the running game against UNC.
Our guest, Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. If you have a question for Mr. Coleman, feel free to fire away. 866-356-ESPN, 866-356-3776. Mr. Coleman, you do have a question waiting for you. It's from A.J. Hokie. A.J. Hokie, do we have you there, ma'am?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, and A.J. Hokie, thank you for calling the program. What's on your brain? What's your question for Mr. Coleman?
Well, I really didn't have a question. I'm sure I could come up with one. I just wanted to, speak out to the Hokie Nation just a little bit. Just say, everybody likes the pretty stats and everything, but you know what I'm about? I'm about winning. And winning is something in Blacksburg we've become very accustomed to. And so when you lose, it hurts that much worse, and they're calling for people's heads and sending, threatening emails and stuff like that. What I want to know, if you have any knowledge of it, I mean, apparently Steinspring is pretty much here to stay. Does it look like to you he is trusting the players more and not, keeping handcuffs on them?
That's a good question. I'll throw that to Mr. Coleman. A.J. Hokie, anything else from Mr. Coleman?
No.
Thank you for your perspective, ma'am.
You know, that is a good question. It was funny. I did the Hokie Hotline notes last night, and Frank Beamer said that, there was an incident in the first half where Virginia Tech had to use back-to-back timeouts.
Right.
And it was a really bad situation. And Beamer said that they put in a new formation this past week, and one of the freshman wide receivers got confused and came off the field, and so they had to call a timeout. So then they called the exact same formation again, and he got confused again, and they had to come off the field and call another timeout. So, I think at this point, they're trying to build a little bit into the offense each week. I really don't think you can trust with so many freshmen at wide receiver. I'm not sure how much you can trust them at this point. I'm not that big into stats either, but at the same time, 99th, 100th, and what are we this year, 112th right now?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty obvious at this point, what unit is propping up this program. And I look at it like this. If Virginia Tech was in a better football conference, what would happen to Virginia Tech in the SEC? The defense, I believe, would hold up fine, but the offense would be so far behind those modern offenses of the SEC. that Virginia Tech would be a middle-of-the-pack program. That's my thought.
Chris Coleman, our guest, guys, TechSideline.com, averaging 272 yards a game. Daryl Slater had this in today's Richmond Times-Dispatch. That's 112 out of 119 teams nationally. Steinspring's caught a lot of scrutiny. He's caught a lot of scrutiny on this program, on the message boards at TechSideline.com, and from a lot of the fan base. The question I would throw to you, Chris, is how much of that is fair scrutiny? Because the numbers don't lie, and the numbers speak a lot of ill will to that Virginia Tech offense is not being, you know, very productive.
Yeah, you know, I think some of it's fair. Plenty of it's fair, to be honest with you. But at the same time, I think the blame can definitely be shared. I mean, you look around, and Brian Steinsbrink's not the only offensive coach that has heavy input into the offense. You know, I mean, Billy Hyatt has a lot of input into the offense. You know Mike O'Kane does, being the quarterback's coach, and Beamer himself. You know, when you look at it, Frank Beamer's the head coach of this football program, and ultimately he's responsible for everything in it. So if the offense is not producing, then, you know, it either has to be fixed, you know, or you've got to find someone who can fix it for you. And, you know, it's just up to Frank Beamer whether how it's fixed, but, you know, it definitely needs to be fixed, though.
Well, and guys, our guest is Chris Coleman, the associate editor of TechSideline.com. After what I've seen from Evans, I'm confident in Evans as a running back, and then you combine him with the Tyrod Taylor element, the Kenny Lewis Jr. element, and maybe an Oglesby. I think the running game is all right. It's just this passing game that has been very, very anemic. 6.4 yards per completion for Taylor. Picks against North Carolina. It wasn't until late in the game that it seemed like the Virginia Tech booth, the offensive coordinators, the coaches, trusted Taylor. What do you think, Mr. Coleman?
You know, Mike O'Kane made some comments about Taylor missing some throws downfield and misreading the defense. And, you know, when you think about it, Tyrod Taylor is a true sophomore. That means he's 19 years old. Virginia Tech has one redshirt freshman wide receiver who's 19 years old, and they've got three true freshman receivers who are 18 years old. The main cogs of your passing game right now are 18 and 19 years old, and they're going up against guys 20, 21, even 22 years old, not to mention experienced defensive coordinators that know how to confuse young players like that. So I'm not surprised that the passing game is struggling at this point. But, you know, I mean, obviously if you look at it, you know, I think it probably could be better at the same time.
Well, Nebraska can put points on the board. We know that. They're averaging 450 yards a contest, 20th in the nation. Although, Chris, it's against Western Michigan, San Jose State, New Mexico State. They've stopped the run. They've shown it through three games. If Nebraska at home can stop the Virginia Tech running game, how confident are you in Tyrod Taylor winning a contest on the road with his arm?
I'm not very confident in Virginia Tech's offense winning the game. You know, I think the key to this game is really Virginia Tech stopping Nebraska's running game. If you look, Marlon Lucky had a lot of hype coming into the season, and he's averaging 5 yards a carry so far this year, but he has one 58-yard run. If you take out that 58-yard run, he's only averaging 3.3 yards per carry against those three teams you just named off. I mean, that's just not very good.
Good stat.
It's not very good, and it's against bad competition. You know, Nebraska, so their offensive line is big and strong, but they're just so used to pass blocking from the past. How many years was Callahan there? 3 or 4 years?
Right.
They're just so used to pass blocking 50 or 60 times a game that they just haven't got that physical knock-them-off-the-ball mentality that Bo Pelini wants from his football teams right now. So, you know, I really think the key matchup in this game is how well Virginia Tech can stop Nebraska's running game. If Nebraska can have a balanced offense, then Nebraska will win the game. But if Virginia Tech can force Nebraska to be one-dimensional, then the Hokies will have a chance.
Virginia Tech at Nebraska, marquee matchup, guys, the 27th of September. Our guest, Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com, he's kind enough to join us on the Jerry Miller Show. We're live in three states and on five affiliates. As far as the passing game, one more question. Taylor did show some flashes of what he can do in the second half against North Carolina. Is this more on Taylor, do you think, or is it more on the fact that these wide receivers are so young? The second part of the question is, why not more Greg Boone, Chris?
Second part of the question first. That's a good question. I really don't know what's up with Greg Boone right now. I still think he's too heavy, to be honest with you. I don't think he's all that fluid. And, you know, obviously, you know, the scrimmages were open to the public in the preseason. Every team we played had scouts in there, and they saw how Virginia Tech used Greg Boone. They've been keen on him the entire season, starting with East Carolina. First part of the question, you know, Tyrod Taylor, you know, I really did think he made some really nice plays down the stretch in that game, you know, in the second half. He had a critical third down pass when he was being sacked from behind. He was being drugged down to the ground, but he got that pass away to Dyrell Roberts. Later on, you know, he really showed a lot of coolness when he dropped that shotgun snap and didn't panic, just picked it up, rolled out to his right, and found Jarrett Boykin. I think the receivers are getting better. I thought they played a lot better against North Carolina, and especially in the second half. So, you know, things will steadily improve in that passing game as the year goes on. We're just going to have to be patient with it, you know?
2 minutes left in the interview. We'll pick up the pace and tempo with Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. The North Carolina-Virginia Tech rivalry was very heated on Saturday. I know Virginia Tech has had their way with the Tar Heels over the last five or six football games, but when does this rivalry become, you know, start to mean more, North Carolina-Virginia Tech, Chris?
I think it will start to mean more when North Carolina finally beats Virginia Tech. You know, they've come within 3 points a couple times, but generally the Hokies have been the more physical team on both sides of the ball, and have just kind of knocked North Carolina around. You know, even in that first three-point game that was very close, VT knocked them around. So I think when Carolina can show some physical play and the ability to beat Virginia Tech, then it will become more heated.
Would you confidently say that Stephon Virgil and Macho Harris are the best defensive back tandem in the conference?
I agree. They're the best cornerback combo in the ACC. There's no other combo I would take above them right now.
Let me throw this to you here. Macho Harris saw some touches on offense. Do we expect more of that on the road at Nebraska?
Yeah, I really think you will. Until you start getting more production out of the regular wide receivers, I think you'll continue to see Macho on the offensive side of the ball.
The defense, what impressed you, sir?
Oh, I really thought they held the point of attack. I really thought they played faster, which tells me that their mind isn't tying up their feet quite as much anymore.
I agree. Chris Coleman, guys, read his stuff on TechSideline.com. TechSideline.com. He's the associate editor. Mr. Coleman, thank you, sir.
Yep, enjoyed it.
Good man right there. Chris Coleman, guys, every Tuesday, a top of hour two here on the Jerry Miller Show, we will chat with Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. We broke down Virginia Tech. I'm going to open up the phone lines in the next segment to your feedback, your assessment of what we had to say with Chris Coleman, what Chris Coleman's analysis was of the Virginia Tech football program. They're on the road at Nebraska. The Cornhuskers are currently a 7-point favorite. According to the Suits in Vegas, the Cornhuskers put points on the board. The Cornhuskers get yardage up from an offensive standpoint, and they've shown that they can stop the run so far. How much is that worth, however? Because let's face it, Nebraska has played Western Michigan, San Jose State, and New Mexico State. Those three teams, Nebraska's 3-0, pale in comparison to East Carolina, Georgia Tech, and at North Carolina. Hokies could have very easily been 4-0 at this point of the season. But GB Bulldog, let me give you some love, my friend. You're exactly right. One more time. They could easily have been 1-4 as well. Had things not have gone their way against Georgia Tech, maybe if T.J. Yates plays from first quarter to fourth quarter in Chapel Hill. Open phone lines. It's the Jerry Miller Show. It's brought to you by the gentlemen at Fork Union Military Academy. Make Kevin Quigley, our executive producer, sweat behind the glass. Charlottesville and Blacksburg, you have a local sports update coming from me.